they're combined. And as we bring out the scriptures, hopefully it will show just how they are interlocked, and there is no way to separate the truth from the spirit. And so I appreciate how that the Lord is right there able to take scriptures that we've read hundreds of times and make them new and different and encouraging and inspirational. I truly appreciate that. So in 1 John 5:6, we want to grab this scripture. It says, "This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth." See, the Spirit is truth. You can't separate the Spirit and the truth. So when people decide that they're going to worship God, and we see much of it today, where they are very emotional, very carried away, they go to service, and I've heard some of them even say that, "Well, if I come to your service, you know, I'll be doing a lot of praising and everything." And I'm thinking, why would you think you're going to be doing a lot of praising? Maybe there's nothing to praise God about in the service. Maybe something would go horribly wrong and you couldn't praise God in it. But they've already made up their mind that they're going to have this jubilant spirit about them, and they think that that's worshiping God in the spirit, but it's not. Without the truth, there can't be a worship in the spirit. And then there are those that have truth. They truly do have some good understanding of Bible principles, but they have no spirit. They have no spirit of God backing up what they believe. It is empty. It's dead. You ever met somebody that they could tell the scripture, they could quote the scripture, but you didn't get any feedback from them? Your spirit didn't witness with their spirit. They have truth, but they have no spirit. Both of these ways that people try to worship God are not how he needs to be worshiped. And if we don't worship him the way he needs to be worshiped, the way that we can become a part of him, the whole idea is for us to become one in our worship, one with God in the spirit. And it's not just when we come together to worship here, it's when we're worshiping at home, in our own closet, in our own, doing our own devotions, worshiping him there in spirit and in truth. It's very, very important, because the spirit is truth. It is truth. Without the spirit, it's very hard to understand truth. We can get a head knowledge, but we all know that having a head knowledge of the scripture does not help us when we get into a real battle. When we get into a real battle, the scriptures, if we are not careful, the devil will try to make the scriptures seem as if they are just words. They don't mean anything. They're almost dead to us. Without the spirit, the devil tries to interrupt the spirit working with the scriptures to bring forth a victory in our life. So it's very important that we understand these things cannot be separated. And if they're separated, then God isn't being worshiped. He's not being worshiped. In John 18, 37 and 38, this is when Jesus was before Pilate. "And Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Art thou a king then?" This is an important question he asked him. "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered him. You know, we beg for God to answer us sometimes, don't we? We come before him and we're in a problem and having difficulties, and we just want to hear his voice. "Just answer me, Lord. Just say something, Lord, that will help me to know that I'm on the right path and I'm going through it the right way, and give me some inspiration." And we want to hear God's voice. And here is Jesus in front of Pilate, and he asks him a question, and Jesus condescended to answer him right there. Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. Yes, he's saying yes. To this end I was born. And for this cause came I into the world. This is the reason. That I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find no fault at all. I was thinking about this when the Lord brought it to my mind. Jesus is telling him that he is the truth. Those that hear his voice bear witness to the truth. And then he looks at him and he says, but what is truth? Because he had ways that he was thinking. He knew the Jews and how they thought, and he knew the pagans at that era and how they thought. He's saying, what is truth? But you know what he couldn't get past? He couldn't get past the Spirit. He didn't know what truth was. He was confused. He didn't understand then. But he was in touch with the very Spirit of God. He may have never been touched by the Spirit of God before. But he was right there in Jesus' presence. And the Spirit that was emanating from him, coming forth from him, caused him to know that I may not know what's the truth here. I may not know whether he's saying the truth or whether the Jews are saying the truth. I may not know much about this, but I know one thing. I find no fault at all. I don't know what's going on here, but I don't find any fault. Now we know as time went on, we know that he finally did go ahead and give in to the Jews and washed his hands of it and decided that, you know, whatever. We know that his wife spoke to him and said, I've suffered many things in a dream because of this man. In other words, the Spirit went to meet her. The Spirit went and caused her to have those dreams. She warned her husband, don't have anything to do with this. I've had much, much trouble in dreams because they both came in touch with the Spirit. They didn't understand truth, but they came in touch with the Spirit. Now, we claim to have the Spirit. We claim to have truth. We claim to have truth, the truth of the Word, that all that is taught in the Word, we endeavor to live by. We claim to have the Spirit of God that leads us and helps us in all of these things. But what we need to understand is we need the Spirit and the truth. We need to worship God with the Spirit and truth. We need to testify with the Spirit and truth. We need to walk our daily life in spirit and in truth. It's the only way that God can be reached, can be worshiped at all. We must have both. And so many people in this day and age do not have both. Some of them have one, some of them have the other, but it's only the true saints of God that have both. They have both. We may not know them. We may not know their names, but they have both. They have the truth and the Spirit. Do they have all truth? Well, let me ask you this. Do you feel like you have all truth? No, we do not have all truth. We are taught something new almost every day, every week at least. We are taught something new, a truth that we didn't understand perfectly. Something that we had never comprehended before, something in the Word that we had never seen quite like that before. That is all truth. Do we have the basics of truth down? Yes, we have been taught that. We understand those basics. But there are many people out there that kind of have a basics of truth, but they don't have the Spirit with it. And so they struggle because who can live this life without the Spirit? Who can do this? Who has enough grace and strength and everything they need without the Spirit? There are so many places that do not teach the infilling of the Spirit. Or if they do teach it, they teach it in a false way to where that people, you can only have the witness of it if you have a certain thing. that isn't what it is. The witness of the truth, the witness of having the Holy Spirit, is the holy life you live after you have the Spirit. That is it. Not that there aren't mistakes made, because you are human. There are mistakes made. But, you know, the Holy Spirit convicts us and teaches us and shows us things and helps us to understand that we are walking before the Lord God, and that we must have a standard to live before the people, to live before Him. He's looking at us every day, all day, throughout our day, and all our conversations and all that we do. He is watching. Are we representing Him in spirit and in truth? I was thinking of John the Baptist and how he was a man that was filled with the Holy Ghost from his birth. The scriptures tell us that. And he went in and started preaching before Jesus came. He started telling the people they had to repent. They had to repent, for the kingdom draweth nigh, I think is one of the ways he put it. He was talking about Jesus was coming soon. The kingdom is coming. You need to repent. You need to be ready. And people flocked to him to be baptized. What was that? He was speaking truth, but it was the Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit. And when he spoke, the Spirit moved on the people. And that's why they came. And the elders of the Jews came, and they said, they questioned him, you know, what are you doing here and everything. And he told them, he says, they had to do the same thing. And they started backing up, and they started saying, no, we're Abraham's seed, and, you know, we don't need this, we don't need that. You know, they had their own way of looking at things. They were so far. They had over the 400 years that the prophets had not been there. 400 years the prophets were silent. They had not heard a prophet. They had nothing to balance them out. They lived in their own minds and in their own ways. And they had gotten so far away from what God had wanted them to do. They had gotten so far away that they didn't even recognize him when he came. They had all of the prophecies in the word that Sister Serena talked about this morning. All those prophecies. And they didn't go and check it out. One of the things they said, well, is there any good thing comes out of Bethlehem? In other words, they, out of, was it, no, not Bethlehem. Is there any good thing that comes out of Nazareth? Because that's where he had just come from. But that isn't where he was born. They didn't look into it. They could have asked people. They could have gone and asked his family, you know, have you always lived here? Is this where he was born? Is, you see what I'm saying? But they weren't led of the Spirit. They had gotten so far away, and that they didn't even recognize the Spirit in John the Baptist. The first prophet to appear before them since the prophets had stopped. The first one filled with the Spirit. And they had gotten so far away, they didn't even recognize the Spirit anymore. It's a very, very sad thing. And we can do that. We can get caught up in the truth of the gospel. Well, I know this is so, and I know that is so, and the Bible says this, and the Bible says that. But if we lose contact with the Spirit, the truth won't do us any good, because the Spirit and truth are interwoven. There's no way to have one without the other. If you're going to truly worship God, you can have one without the other and not worship God, not be a true follower, but you can't worship Him without both. John 14, 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Talking about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. Oh, when Jesus left this earth, while he was with them, they didn't need the infilling of the Holy Spirit like they were going to need it when he was gone, like we need it today. The Lord has been so very, very good to us. He was very, very good to them. All the things that they went through, all the things they went through in his ministry, all of the miracles, everything they saw, he was giving them all that they were going to need for when the Spirit came upon them, that they would have Spirit and truth. Not just the truth. They had the truth already. He had already given that to them. But what they didn't have is they didn't have the Spirit dwelling within. He said, the Spirit's with you. The Spirit was with them then as they were out and about and discipling and all the things they were doing. The Spirit was with them, but it wasn't in them yet. Couldn't be in them yet till Jesus went back. And we have to know that the Spirit is in us, working every day. We can't just have truth without the Spirit. John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, what is he going to do? He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. When the Spirit of truth is come, talking about the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, he's going to be our guide. He's going to be our guide. And where does he guide you? Into all truth. Do you see how the Spirit and truth cannot be separated? God is a spirit. He must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Truth. God sent his word, and he wrote down his laws, and he wrote down his truth, and what he wanted men to know. And there's many things, many questions that people want to know, but he didn't give us those answers. He didn't give us those answers in the Bible because they aren't important for us to know. There's so much that God knows that we don't need to know down here in our puny little minds on our puny little planet. We just don't need to know it. It's not important for us to know. He gave us everything that was important to know, but people waste time and years of study trying to find answers to things that God did not give answers for. And governments and they try to legislate things that God said there is no end of. You know, when God said the poor will always be with you, he meant it. There is no way that we will never have poor. There is no way. God knew what was going to happen on this earth, and he knew the ways that things were going to run and be run, and he knew injustice, and he knew justice. He knew everything that was going to happen, and he told us the poor are always going to be with you. He told us that. He told us that it was going to wax worse and worse. He told us that. There's no way to stop all of the evil in this world. There is no way. It can only be stopped for the individual. It can't be stopped in the world. There's no end to it in the world. The enemy is here. He's the prince of the power of the air. But we must have the Spirit of truth. And it's going to guide us into all truth. And that's why there's so much error in religion today, because the Spirit was not there to guide into truth. So they got off. They got off, and they went down wrong paths, and they understand things in the wrong light, and they have interpreted scriptures with wrong understanding, because the Spirit guides into all truth. There's no way to get to the truth without the Spirit. Many people, I said before, understand truth. It's because they probably learned it from someone. Somebody else told them. As they're reading the word, even though they do not have the Holy Spirit, as they're reading the word, do you know that God wants to reveal truth to people? He wants them to understand what sin is, what they should avoid, how they should live. He wants them to know that. We're supposed to be telling people that. We're supposed to be telling them that. God is telling them that in their their own private ear. He has their ear, and he is telling them all the time. We're to back up that witness by how we live in this earth and how we talk and what we do. We're to back all of that up. But it has to be with the Spirit and the truth. Oh, that there are so many places that don't have all the truth. And they don't have the Spirit either. But they work it up. They work up a spirit. They work up many fine speeches and many words of love and compassion and all manner of things like that. But it doesn't feed the soul. It feeds the flesh. It feeds the intellect. It feeds the conscience and tries to tamp it down to where it doesn't have much to say anymore. But it's not really worshiping God in spirit and in truth. First Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. What happens if we quench the Spirit? We quench truth. While we're in the midst of quenching the Spirit, we need not think that we're going to arrive at great understandings of truth. That isn't going to happen. God has to stand back. We're quenching the Spirit over something. God has to stand back, and he has to work with that one thing, the one thing that is causing you to quench his Spirit. He has to work with that one thing. He can't move on and work with a lot of other things. He has to work with that one thing until you get a hold of it. How many of us have been stifled in our growth because we're quenching the Spirit in this one little part of our life, and God has to spend all of his time right there getting us to quit quenching his Spirit so his Spirit can endow us with truth, so he can lead us into truth. So quench not the Spirit. Okay, we want to talk a little bit about people getting saved, and how the Spirit and truth work, and how quenching of the Spirit works. In John 3:20-21, somebody that wants to get saved, this is what happens in their life. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Those that are not seeking salvation, they're doing evil. They don't want the light. They don't want their deeds to be known. They don't want to know the secret things that are going on in their minds, their hearts, deeds, different things that are happening. They're hiding. They're running. They're not looking. But in 21, it says, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. See, they don't want to stop doing what they're doing. They want God, but they don't want to stop doing the things that keep God away from them. They don't want to do that. But then God keeps working. The Spirit keeps working. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Oh, yielding to the Spirit of truth. Yielding to the Holy Spirit as he deals with our souls. There are many, many times that the Spirit has dealt with our souls. Many times before we got saved that he dealt with our souls. We didn't understand exactly how it was all working, but we understood that something was happening. We understood we were doing bad. We understood we were doing evil things. There were things we would like to have stopped, but we found out we didn't have power to stop them. We tried, but we couldn't. We're getting deeper and deeper and all, but it's the yielding to the Holy Spirit is what brings people to salvation. Yielding. I don't care about what I have to give up. I don't care about what I have to stop doing. Those things don't matter anymore. I'm going to yield to my Savior. I'm going to yield to God. And let him have right away in my life Because without that, I can't meet God. I'm not ready to meet God in peace. And they know it. And so many of them try to find ways to explain away God and say they don't believe in God. And if God was this, then if God was really there, then why does he let this happen? And if God does this, why does this happen? And if there's really a hell, then God is so much love, he wouldn't put us there. And all these things. They've come up with all of these reasons and rationale about why they can still believe in God, but yet not do what he says. They don't want him to be personal in their lives, to grab a hold of them and grab a hold of their heart and be personal in their life. They don't want that. They quench the Spirit. The Spirit deals and deals, and they quench and they quench. And the Spirit many times has to back up for a while. And they don't hear God calling them for a while. That's very scary. Very scary when you get to the place where you don't hear God call me.
Yes.
We don't know if the place you're in, if it's going to be a place that you can come out of. Oh, people are praying, and many a soul has been prayed out of that place, and many a soul has gotten one more chance. There has been many a soul that has testified that I realized this was my last chance. They knew it. It was their last one. Today, if you knew it was your last chance, would you squander it? No, you're counting on another chance being given. You're counting on that God is going to love you and still come after you. And he does. But he only does that so long. And then he has to back up, because his Spirit cannot work where it is quenched. He can't work there. And you don't want the Spirit to back up on you and leave you alone, and then you get into trouble, and this happens, and that happens, and more things happen, and more things happen. You go deeper and deeper, and you start thinking about God, but God is not calling. You know, you can't come to the Lord unless he's calling. You can't come without his call. You can beg. There have been people that have begged. I know of one man, his testimony was, he begged God for 15 years to save him. 15 years he went after God. 15 years he talked to him and pleaded with him and tried to find a way back to him. And then finally God answered. And you know what? He saved today. He knew it was his last chance. He had been too long. Been too long away. Hadn't been able to get back. Hadn't been able to feel the stirring of the Spirit. If we don't feel the stirring of the Spirit, we have no desire for God. It's the stirring of the Spirit. And if we just keep quenching it and stamping it down and putting our so to speak, our foot on it and holding it down away from our hearts and to where God can't intervene, then what are we doing? We're not going to have truth, and we're not going to have the Spirit either. All right, Romans 10, 2 through 3. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Oh, there are so many that claim to be saved, but they don't yield to the Spirit or truth. They don't yield to either one. They claim salvation. They talk about, oh yes, God is love, and oh, we just love the Lord, and I love the Lord, and yes, you know, I have accepted the Lord, and all these things. They say all manner of things about God, but they don't yield to him in their private life. They don't yield to the Spirit or the truth. They hear truth. They hear a scripture explained like they've never heard it before. They hear that like they've never heard it before. And they wonder, their first reaction is, that can't be true. That can't be what God really meant. Why? Because their first reaction is a drawback. Whatever they heard, they drew back from. They have a zeal for God. Oh, they talk about him, and God is the answer, and they'll pat people on the back, and, oh, you need to this and that. But they don't really have the divine peace and unction in the Spirit working in their life to where they can really help people. Because why? Because they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're ignorant of God's truth. They're ignorant of the Spirit's workings. And they're going about to establish their own righteousness. That's the whole idea. When they are there and they're living, they say they're living for God. And then some nugget of truth comes their way and they begin to wrestle and fight with it. They're trying to establish their own righteousness. Not yield to God's righteousness, to his way, to his law, his word. They're trying to establish their own. And they'll say, well, I don't see it that way. Wouldn't it have been better to say, that is not what God taught me? But that is not what they ever say. They never say, God taught me different from that. They always say, I don't see it that way. They're establishing their own righteousness, because however I see it, however I explain it, however I live it, that's what God wants. They establish their own and then they attach God's name to it. We don't do that. We let God be God. We let him be God. He has a truth and he has a righteous way that we are to live. And we endeavor to follow him and live his righteous way. That's how you worship him in spirit and in truth. And it says they establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They haven't submitted themselves. They are doing things, most people are doing things they know better than to do. They will tell you, I shouldn't be doing this. How do they know that? Because the Spirit and the truth told them. The Spirit and the truth told them. But they're going to wipe out the truth of it, and they're going to push off the Spirit of it, and they're going to go on doing what they want to do and saying, I don't see it that way. We have to submit to the Spirit and the truth. The Spirit and the truth has to live in us. The truth of the Scriptures, the truth of his word. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And what else do we know? It says that the word was with God and the word was God. Talking about Jesus. He's told them himself, I am the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The truth, the Spirit, they can't be separated. If they're separated, then we're not right before God. We are not living right before God when we separate those two things. We can't ignore the Spirit's unctions on our heart. We can't do that. There are many of us that have struggled with something for a while. You know what I'm talking about. We have a love in our life, or we have something that we just don't see how we can do without. We just don't see how we can get over it. We don't see how that we can get away from it. And we pray and we say, Lord, I know this is there and I'm asking you to help me and all, but do we put the effort forth? Do we put effort forth? Many times. Do you know the devil cannot make you do anything physically that you don't allow yourself to do? He can't make you do that. When you're living for the Lord and you want to be free of something, then you put forth the effort. You do it. You say, I'd rather die first than to do this again. I'd rather die first than to pick this up. I'd rather die first. Is God supposed to supply you with your own determination? Doesn't he want us to be disciplined? Doesn't he want us to have determination? Doesn't he want us to have what we need? It says endurance. He says only those that endure to the end. Doesn't he want us to have those things? Do you know those things are not something that God gifts us with? Those are things that we learn to have. He teaches us how to have those things. He protects us for a while. That's why you don't know you need it. Because he's so good at protecting us until he can get across to us that, listen, you have got to say no to this. I can't just keep putting my hand against it when your flesh is crying out for it and have the victory over the top of your will. I can't keep doing this. You are going to have to put forth effort. You are going to have to win the battle. We win the battle with the truth and the Spirit. That's how we win the battle, with the truth and the Spirit. But they don't win it for us. We have to work with the truth, the Spirit of God. He is all powerful. He is able. Thy word is truth. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I want to talk to you a little bit about backsliding. Obviously, these people have backslidden. They've departed from the faith. They've departed from the truth. They've given heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, things that are out there that counteract the truth of God's word and the truth of the word and the Spirit together. And all of these things, the devil has counterfeits for everything. And so he's out there trying to woo us all the time into a false sense of security. Oh, you can have that in your life. Don't worry. God understands. He understands you. He understands your temptations. Don't worry. The devil is always trying to get us to settle for less truth, to settle for less of the Spirit of God working in our lives. He wants us to settle on more of ourselves trying to do things. And that isn't contrary to what I just said when I said we have to win battles and we have to be willing to say, I'll die before I touch that again. See, we've gotten truth. The Spirit has set a sanction on it. We have been convicted of it. We know. We've seen things. There are people that are doing things right now that they know. They know they weren't raised like that. They know that the elders didn't teach it like that. They know that the power that the elders had and the healings that were there and all, they saw all of that, but they want to live a lesser standard and have the same outpourings of the Spirit. But you can't have the same outpourings of the Spirit when you don't obey the truth, because they are one and the same. They are together. We have to obey the Spirit of God. We have to allow the truth to be in us and hidden in us and it written across our forehead. We have to have that. We cannot harbor things in our lives and expect that God is going to overlook it. All that will happen is that you will fight and fight, and it'll be like beating the air. And the Lord will have mercy here and there and bless here and there, but he has to keep just dealing with that same thing until you get it. He can't move on. You can't move on. You can't advance. You can't get any closer. You can't get any more, because God is calling for something and you are not giving it to him. spirit and the truth. We can't live without both in all that we can understand, both. We have to have that. How does backsliding start? It starts with quenching the spirit. The Lord is dealing with this. He's leading us along. And as long as we are paying attention to how the Lord is dealing with us and how he leads us in his word, and the spirit and the word agree, and it's all moving forward, and we're saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And as long as that is happening, we're going forward. And the spirit is in our lives and working with us. And hopefully we have come to the place to where we have asked for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, because we realize I need more power to accomplish these things that God is calling me to do. I don't seem to have enough. I need the Holy Spirit actually living in me, the power living in me. But we can get a little careless. We can get a little lazy. We can grieve the Spirit. Nobody has backslidden that didn't grieve the Spirit first. You don't just suddenly wake up one morning and you've given up. No, you grieve the Spirit, and the Spirit had to stand back. Now you're stuck with just truth. Truth is made to convict our conscience and convict us. When we're living with just truth without the comfort of the Spirit, then we live under guilt. We're not getting anywhere. We don't know why we're not getting anywhere. We've grieved the Spirit. We've kind of halted on a certain subject because it's just too hard for us. We've grieved the Spirit, and yet we're still trying to live all the rest. All the rest that we understand and know, we're still trying to live that. But there's one thing that the Lord's been dealing with that we weren't willing to go that far. And so the Spirit has been quenched, and he's had to back up. And now we want to keep going. And you know, we're most miserable there. Because the Spirit and the truth, the Word, have to agree. They have to agree. They're interlocked. They've been broken apart. You've quenched the Spirit. You've pulled him apart from it. And now you're most miserable because you're living with just guilt, 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 guilt. No comfort anywhere. No victories anywhere. Just and finally, one day, the person wakes up and he says, you know, why keep going on? I have nothing. And they go back on God. Other ways it can happen is that these doctrines of devils, these seducing spirits come in. They hear something that's different from what they have been living. Oh, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do all of that. You know, God is a God of this and that, and people pull out scriptures and all. Those seducing spirits, those doctrines of devils, they come in and they begin to work with you. And the Spirit, who has been speaking expressly to you, tries to counteract all of it. But the other appeals to the flesh. Now, dear ones, we're going to have the flesh with us for the rest of our days. And we're going to have to recognize that there are certain things that appeal to the flesh. And we are going to have to keep our body under, like Paul said he did, every day. Because it appeals. If it didn't appeal to the flesh, there would be no temptation. But they backslide. Why do they backslide? Because they imbibed. They imbibed a doctrine from a seducing spirit. And they decided that that biblical truth that they thought and was living at first, that doesn't apply anymore. It's no longer there. And then they're out. They're out way, way out there. There have been those that have gone way out and separated themselves and all. And then they finally realized where they were at wasn't right, wasn't truth. And they left it. But do you know? Many, many of those people never get back. So many of them have been so damaged that they are out there still not even claiming salvation. They've been so, their conscience has been so damaged that they're not even claiming salvation. They don't believe in conservative living anymore, is what they call it. They don't believe in those kind of things. And they're just out there waiting for the end, waiting for death to come. When at one time they had truth, how did they get there? They left off the spirit or they left off truth? One or the other. You can't worship God any other way but with both. You have to have both. So, 2 Timothy 2:15, very common scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, understanding the word of truth, rightly understanding the word of truth. Dear ones, we are never to be in a place to where we do not understand something. We hear something, we hear a doctrine, we hear something that we don't understand. We are not to stay there. We are to study that thing out until we get it. That's what we are to do. When Brian and I were in Wisconsin and we came in touch with some saints there, they were from a Church of God movement. They were very, very close, believed very, very close to what we believe, but they had a few things that they did differently. But they found out about us through one of the missionaries in the church. They found out about us, and they found out we were living close to them, and they invited us to come over, and they wanted us to preach for them. Well, when you have an open door, you go ahead and take it, and you preach. And somebody new came in the congregation there, and I was preaching at the time. And they were very upset because they had come from a place that believed that women couldn't speak in the church. And so this was a direct violation to them. And so they just didn't understand, you know, what this was all about. And they felt like, well, then they could cast everything off because you weren't following this one thing and all these things. And so the minister that was there that had, so to speak, almost completely sat down and just let us run the services and let us do the preaching. He said, well, let's have a Bible study about it. Well, so they decided to have a Bible study. And during that Bible study, I stayed home. I did not go to the services because I felt like for me to sit there was too much of a distraction. And that people should be able to say and talk and study and bring forth ideas and things without me being there and feeling like they were hurting my feelings or whatever they were saying. And so I felt like I needed to stay home, so I stayed home. And so they had two Sundays of study. And I think they studied not only on Sundays, but they studied during the week. And then I came back to service. And the minister said, you know, that he was convinced, absolutely convinced, that women should speak in the church. And so I was very thankful, you know, for that through their study. And then the young man that had objected, he turned to me and he told me, he said, I want to apologize to you. He said, because every time you got up to preach, he says, I was against you. And I didn't want to hear you, and I didn't want to hear anything you had to say. He said, but now, he says, I know that it's right. I know it's right. I'm convinced that it's right for women to preach and teach and all in the scriptures. See, they studied it. They studied it out. They found what God wanted them to find. And to be able to understand what was there. It is so wonderful to study the word. God is not going to lead you astray. Now, that doesn't mean that the devil isn't going to try to lead you astray. And you're studying the scriptures and you have a question and you're studying and the devil's going to try to keep throwing roadblocks in your way so that you don't get the truth. But the spirit and the truth agree. And the Lord is going to help you. What you cannot do is you cannot stay in the place of not knowing. because then the devil has much to work with. Every time that something comes against you, there will be that thing. Well, I don't know if I should be doing it this way or that way. And I don't know if I need to really do this or not do this. Well, I heard another message and it talked about this again, you know, but I don't see it that way. And what am I supposed to do? And all of the questions, study to show thyself approved unto God. When people go to the scriptures to study out for the truth, not just to prove their point, but to study for the truth of the whole thing, then the Spirit and the truth are going to help them. They're going to bless them and help them in it when they really do that. When they lay aside their prejudices, when they lay aside what they heard, when they lay aside the questionings of the enemy in their minds and in their hearts, when they lay that all down, if they can lay that all down and truly, truly study the scriptures, they can understand the truth and the Spirit will agree and come together. Matthew 26, 40 and 41. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We're going to always have the flesh. The Spirit indeed is willing. When we have the Holy Spirit in our life, we have something precious. But when we neglect our prayers, we neglect our reading, we neglect the Word of God to study it like we should, when we neglect that, then we are opening ourselves up for the flesh to have more power. See, the only way the flesh is suppressed is because the Word and the Spirit agree in our life. Now, when he says, pray without ceasing, and he says, study to show thyself approved, he says, watch and pray. When he says all these things for us to do, if we neglect those things, when he says to come together, to meet together, when we neglect all those things, we can't possibly have the Word and the Spirit agreeing in our life. We can't possibly. Have you ever seen people got saved and then got the understanding, oh, it's not necessary to be in church. It's not necessary to go. Now, it'd be one thing if they felt like it wasn't necessary to go, but they did everything in their power to, they got the message and they studied the message and they did this, but that isn't what happens. That isn't what happens. When people neglect to come together and come to church, they don't spend any other time studying and reading and listening to the message and all these things. They don't do that. That isn't what they're after. They have an excuse. Because why? Because they're not worshiping God in spirit and in truth. They want salvation. They want the bad things in their lives to stop. They would like the bad habits they have to go away. But they're not really looking to worship Him in spirit and in truth. They're not willing to do that. They're just trying to get relief for themselves. Lord, help us. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. All of it works together. And the reason why you feel not very strong when you've neglected your prayers or you've neglected your reading or whatever. And if there's one thing that I hear probably more at the altar than anything else, it's that I haven't read like I should. I haven't prayed like I should. Everybody knows what they're doing wrong. Everybody knows. But they're not changing it. They're not changing it. You have to change it. God knows. He will make you feel satisfied when you have worshiped Him in spirit and in truth. He will make you feel satisfied. very satisfied. You won't be running around feeling like, I haven't done it quite right, and I haven't done this, oh. You won't have that. You will be satisfied because you will have worshipped him in spirit and truth, and that's how he must be worshipped. So you'll know. Some of us may have time to spend maybe hours in the Word. Others that are working and have families, and they don't have hours maybe to spend. Do you know that God can take three scriptures and do as much with them in your life if they're studied and read and prayed about in your life? He can do as much with those three scriptures in a half an hour as he can with the person that has maybe 2 hours to sit down and do nothing but study and read and pray and be with the Lord. Do you know he can do just the same for you with your half an hour? But see, God knows the difference between if you really have a half an hour or if you don't. He understands the difference. And we needn't try to fool him and say, this is all the time I have. No, you have other time, but you did other things with the other time. Oh, yeah, you may not have had that time first thing in the morning before you went to work, and you may not have had that time right at the busy part of the day when there was all kinds of things happening. No, you may not have. But when you came into your house and you go, what did you do then? What did you do with that time? Am I going through the house and checking with everybody else and seeing how their day was and what's going on here and what's going on there? Am I just indulging myself? Am I just going, oh, I'm just going to take naps, or I'm just going to look at this, or I'm just going to do that, or whatever? And that's what I fill my time with. And then at the end of the day, okay, it's time to pray now. It's time to read now. When I had other times, I had other time. God can help you to know if you have worshiped him in spirit and in truth. There will be a satisfaction on your life, in your spirit. You will know, I have spent my time with God today. It's not a physical thing. It's not a physical thing. It's a worship thing. It's in truth and spirit. There could have been somebody that was drugged from one place to another all day long, going from here to there to everywhere. But do you know that there are people that have learned how to worship God as they go? They have learned how to do that. They have learned how to pray that prayer as they get in their car. They have learned how to, you know, let a scripture come into their mind and meditate on it. They have learned how to intersperse their day with God, worship him throughout the day. They have learned that. Not just forget about him all day until, oh, it's prayer time. Lord, help us. Spirit and truth. He must be worshiped like that. We must love him above all others. We must love him above all things. We must love him above everything in this life. We must love him above our own life. We must love him. Worship him in spirit and truth. How hard is it? How hard is it for parents when you have a wayward child? And you've given them everything, and you're doing everything you can for them, and they're still wayward, and they're still going out there, and they're still doing things that they shouldn't be doing. How hard is it for you? That's how God is. He's troubled. He is troubled by his children. He is saddened by his children. The only gladness that God gets out of people on this earth are those that truly worship him in spirit and in truth. He gets no pleasure from truth that doesn't have any spirit behind it and people just use the word to club people with. He gets no pleasure from that. He gets no pleasure from people being all emotional and act like they're spiritual and yet they don't live their lives in private like they should. He gets no happiness or gladness from that, no joy. He only gets What he seeks from us is for the worship in the spirit and the truth. That we love his truth, that we do not shirk on his truth. We do not try to get away with having less than what he has given us. We don't try to get away with less than what the Spirit is calling for us. We don't try to avoid where the Spirit is trying to lead us. There are many, many people that balk at being used of the Lord. But we need to be used, dear ones. We need to be used. You need to step out there and say, I will be used. Wherever I find something, I will be used. If the Lord inspires me to call, I will call. If he inspires me to write, I will write. If he inspires me to speak to my neighbor, I'll speak to my neighbor. If he inspires me with a special prayer for someone, I will drop what I am doing and have that special prayer for them. That is worshiping God in spirit and in truth. When we obey everything that he says, when we allow the Lord to lead us and guide us into all the ways that we can be a blessing on this earth. It's not about us anymore. When we're God's child, it's not about us anymore. It is about God. It is about what he wants for us, what he needs for us. Our last scripture is John 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And then what's going to happen?
Set you free.
The truth shall make you free. Free of what? Oh, free of sin. Free of the devil. Free of our flesh. Free of the situations in our life. Freedom, true freedom, to where we're not bound by the things of this earth and we're not bound by the restraints that people try to put on us. We're not bound. We are not bound. That's why we can enjoy service over Zoom, because we are not bound, dear ones. We have freedom. We are free indeed. We can worship God. Oh, that people could have had in the days that they were kept from meeting together, that they could have had something like this, where they could have seen each other's face and they could have met together, that they could have had something like this. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to appreciate everything that God has allowed for our good, what he's allowed for our good, and what he's helping us with. The Lord wants us to be so thankful, and he wants us to know the truth. The Spirit can't be worshiped any other way but spirit and in truth, and the truth will make us free. It will make us free. We'll be able to get free of all those things that bind in our life, all those things that are a distraction in our life, all those things that we wish would go away in our life. We can be free of. The thing may not go away, but we will be free of the distress that it used to cause in our life. There have been many, many people that have testified to that. I wanted this to be over. I wanted that to be over. There have been many stories told about husbands and wives where one was saved and the other wasn't. And they just labored under it. Oh, the injustice of it all. And oh, the fact that they're not saved and that they're mean to them and maybe go against them and try to, you know, do all manner of things. But then they got a hold of God. They got a hold of God. And they were able. We have a little book in our library about a woman that had a husband like that. And he did everything in his power to make life miserable for her. If she needed firewood, he would go find the crookedest firewood that he could find and cut it into pieces so it wouldn't fit in the stove. So she couldn't get the stove going. He was mean, just mean to her. Come home at night after she's cleaned up everything, stomped through the house in his boots full of mud, crawled into his bed between the sheets with his muddy boots on. He did everything he could to come against her. And this is what she did. She thanked him for the crooked wood. She said, you know, that wood was just so perfect because I got one part of it in there. And then all I had to do was just kind of twist it throughout the day to get more and more in there. And it burned just perfect. Now, is that freedom? Is that freedom? Is she free? Is she free? She said to him when he crawled into bed with his boots on, oh, if you'd have told me you were so tired, I would have taken your boots off for you, dear. You see, is she free? Did it change? No, it didn't change then. The man brought other men into his house, and the other men even told him, you have a really good wife. My wife wouldn't stand for that you're doing. My wife wouldn't do this. My wife wouldn't do that. And he would brag to his friends, oh, watch this. And he would do something horrible. And she would just be as sweet and as nice. But do you know what? She won that husband. He finally got saved. Of course he did. Because how can you live with that and not be affected by the Word and the Spirit? Because the Word and the Spirit are agreeing right there in your home. How can it be any different than that God will in some way, somehow work on that soul? Does it mean every one of them is going to get saved? Maybe not. Maybe they do. I don't know. I don't know of all of them. I don't know of all the cases. But I know of all the ones that have testified to me. I know them. And they've testified great victory. And we trust that the Lord will save their companions. Even now, there are people going through great, great distress with their companions. But we're still trusting, because when the Word and the Spirit agree in a home, oh, there is power. There is power. When you get two in the home where the Word and the Spirit agree, there's more power. When you get three, there's more power. But one with Jesus is enough. One with Jesus is enough to make a difference in our homes. Amen. And our lives. So, thank the Lord today. Are you quenching the Spirit? Are you quenching the Spirit? Is he trying to lead you into something? He's trying to get you to work for him? Is he trying to help you in something? Is he trying to lead you away from something that you've been stubborn about? Is he trying to tell you, leave that thing alone? It's bad for you. But you love it so much, it's just really, really hard, and you don't know how you're going to live without it. Are you going to worship him in spirit and in truth? Are you going to worship him like that? Or are you just going to try to worship him with one or the other? Because they have to agree. Otherwise, there's no worship. Lord, help us all. Amen.